Abbott is scaling up access to new COVID-19 tests to help us get back to our lives with confidence. Another life-changing technology from Abbott. So you don't wait for life, you live it. Learn more at Abbott.com. Abbott, life to the fullest.
This is your tech news briefing for Friday, October 2nd. I'm Amanda Llewellyn for The Wall Street Journal. As wildfires continue to rage across the West Coast, some firefighters have been using artificial intelligence to help predict how the fires are moving and figure out how best to allocate the resources needed to combat them. Our deputy editor of WSJ Pro Artificial Intelligence, John McCormick, will tell us more after these headlines. A federal judge has blocked the Trump administration from enforcing its ban against many of the biggest U.S. companies bringing in foreign workers under H-1B and other types of work visas. The ruling only applies to workers for companies represented by the four plaintiffs in the suit, but that still covers hundreds of thousands of companies, including major Silicon Valley tech employers. President Trump issued the ban in June, saying he wanted to safeguard jobs for American workers. The judge in the case said Trump likely overstepped his authority in issuing the ban. The Senate Commerce Committee voted yesterday to authorize subpoenas that would force testimony from Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg, Twitter CEO Jack Dorsey, and Alphabet and Google CEO Sundar Pichai. The committee cited the need to review Section 230, the part of federal law that protects these online platforms as they moderate content. Our reporter Ryan Tracy says it's probably not a coincidence that lawmakers want to talk to leaders from these social media companies so close to the election. Here's Ryan.
Well, these companies preside over a tremendous amount of political discourse. Google owns YouTube, Facebook owns Instagram and WhatsApp. Twitter, obviously, is where a lot of political conversations take place. These platforms also do a lot of advertising, and so a lot of political ads are displayed on them. And politicians from both sides of the aisle are frustrated, sometimes for different reasons, but frustrated about the way that they may be portrayed personally on these platforms, or the way that their party's presidential candidate is portrayed. Opposition ads that they see. Add to that all the other concerns that they have about social media that don't have to do necessarily with politics. And, you know, there's a lot of desire to question these guys.
Ryan says the fact that subpoenas are being considered could be a sign that the committee wants to move quickly.
It's unusual for any congressional committee really to issue subpoenas. It happens from time to time. To be clear, the committee hasn't actually subpoenaed the CEOs yet. What they've done is authorize the issuance of subpoenas. It's a threat to try to get them to agree to testify as soon as possible. And yeah, this doesn't happen that often. And like I said, it really shows that there's some urgency here because these three men have testified before Congress before. It's hard to believe they just said, no, we're never going to testify. We don't know what the back and forth was in private prior to this happening. But certainly, you know, they have testified before, and you'd think they'd be willing to again at some point.
To be clear, the action in the Senate is separate from the House Antitrust Subcommittee's probe into big tech companies. That committee has been looking into Facebook, Amazon, Apple, and Google for potential antitrust violations for about 15 months. And as we reported yesterday, we're expecting them to wrap up their investigation pretty soon. Speaking of Google, the company said it'll pay news outlets more than $1 billion over the next 3 years to license their content. It's part of a new product they're calling Google News Showcase that'll display teasers for articles in Google's news section. Users who click on the teasers will be taken directly to the news organization's websites to read the stories in full. The program is launching in Germany and Brazil, but according to people familiar with the matter, Google is also in talks with publishers in other countries, including the U.S. And we've been talking about the growing threat from cyber attacks. The latest, yesterday, the United Nations Global Shipping Regulator, the International Maritime Organization, said its headquarters had been hit with an attack. Hackers brought down the IMO's website and internal web-based services. It's the second big cyber attack in the maritime sector this week, and it follows several recent high-profile breaches in other industries. Coming up after the break, how firefighters are using AI to keep the infernos in California at bay. That's next.
At Facebook, we continue to take critical steps to better secure our platforms, including more than tripling safety and security teams to 35,000 people and partnering with security researchers, other tech companies, and law enforcement. What's next? We support updating internet regulations to address today's challenges and hold companies, including Facebook, accountable for combating foreign election interference, protecting people's privacy, and enabling safe and easy data portability between platforms. Learn more at about.fb.com/regulation.
It's been a record wildfire season in California. You might remember the scene earlier this summer. We saw San Francisco enveloped in an eerie red smog because of nearby blazes. And as climate change progresses, all signs point to the problem getting worse. Now, some firefighters there are turning to artificial intelligence to respond to the fires. Here to tell us more about it is our deputy editor of WSJ Pro Artificial Intelligence, John McCormick. John, thank you so much for joining me.
It's great to be here.
All right. Can you just remind us of some of the wildfires we've seen this year on the West Coast? And how do they compare to a typical wildfire season?
This wildfire season has probably been the worst that California has seen. There's just been a ton of fires up and down the whole West Coast, Oregon, Washington, and especially California. And right now there's, you know, major fires in the wine country, which are problematic. And it's taking, I guess people don't realize this, it takes a while to get these fires under control. I mean, sometimes weeks, if not more. And then obviously the destruction and the deaths, with more than 25 people being killed in these fires so far, is just very tragic.
And you said it takes time to get fires under control. What is it about these wildfires that makes them so difficult to fight?
Yeah, I just think it's the extent and how fast moving they are. And I guess that's where the AI is coming in. If firefighters can predict where a fire is going, where it's headed, how fast it's going, they can deploy resources to those areas. And especially if it's a town with buildings and people in it, because especially in California with this season, with the fires being spread all over the place, CAL FIRE, which is the agency that really works to coordinate a lot of these activities, their resources are very stretched. But if they have insight, if they have knowledge into where a fire is going, they can deploy those very scarce resources to where it's going to do the most good. And a lot of times that's going to be, you know, as a fire might be approaching a city or town, to save lives and property.
Yeah. And let's talk more about how these AI programs work. What kind of data are they pulling in?
They're pulling in a lot of data from just the environment. Obviously, once a fire starts, they'll have that data. Then they'll look at images to see how far that fire has spread. Then they're also looking at the weather. They're looking at how dry things are. And they're actually even looking at the moisture content of the ground vegetation. And that all factors into how fast a fire will move.
And how exactly do firefighters use that information? What kinds of decisions are they making based on these programs' outputs?
Yeah, a good example is just evacuations. So if, obviously, once a fire is heading towards any kind of a town or even areas, rural areas where people might be, they want to evacuate those areas. So if they have a tool that can predict how fast and how far a fire is going to do, they can use that information, yeah, not only to get to a city or town that needs to be evacuated so they know, you know, to get the people out, but they also have timing. So that helps too, because obviously the more warning you can get to people, you know, not only for the folks that are in that town, but for law enforcers or other officials that need to go into the town and tell people to get out, they want to give those officials enough time to get into the town to make sure that there's enough time for them to warn the citizens of that town to get out.
Which would certainly be life-saving. And, you know, with climate change, we're expecting to see more and more of these kinds of wildfires. Can we expect that these types of AI programs are here to stay?
You know, I try to talk to a couple of people about that. I think this is my opinion. I think, yes, I think AI is finding more and more places in law enforcement, in fire prevention, in safety applications, that we're definitely seeing a trend. And I guess my feeling is, if you're a fire official and you have a tool that can help you do your job better and to save lives and save property, and the tools obviously work, I mean, they're in the field, they're being used right now by CAL FIRE and in other states as well, then you probably want to get a hold of those tools to see if it's a good application for your agency.
Our deputy editor of WSJ Pro Artificial Intelligence, John McCormick, thank you so much for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
That's it for Tech News Briefing this week. If you like our show, please do rate and review us in your app store. It really does help. Chris Zinsley is our supervising producer, and Kateri Yoakum is the executive producer of Wall Street Journal Podcasts. I'm your host, Amanda Llewellyn. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.